You're listening to Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Welcome to Sleep Stories for Equestrians. I'm your host, Ashley Winch. We're so happy you're here to relax and unwind. If you fall asleep and miss the story, we will recap it at the beginning of the next episode. We've also selected and edited these stories for ultimate relaxation, removing any stressful bits without affecting the story's integrity, so you can focus on drifting off to sleep. With that, let's settle down and prepare for our story. The gates are closed. The horses sleep. The day's work done. The chores complete. Now let us rest, our bodies and minds. Drift off to sleep and close your eyes. It's time for us to turn down for the night. Now let's breathe in, breathe out, and turn off the light. One more time, breathe out, breathe in. Now, let us begin. Thank you for joining us on part two of Santa Claus's Pony.
The ground was so level that they could see all around them for a great distance, and there, sure enough, was Kneedle, looking disappointedly at the withered grasses on the far edge of the marsh. She seemed redder than ever in the glow of the sky, which was a deep red, with a few dark clouds above it like smoke. "It looks like Goblin Smithy," said Jan. "Where they shoe with silver the Christmas pony," added Peter, laughing. He put his hands on each side of his mouth to call Kneedle home, when a sudden, sharp ringing sound, as of hooves striking on the frozen ground, made him pause, and around a small body of woods, on one side of them, came a little girl of 13 or 14 years, riding a white pony, at the sight of which little Peter's breath came quick, and his cheeks flushed. For had it not bright eyes and long silky mane and tail, and was not the bridle shining with rich metalwork? Its rider, the young girl, drew rein and checked her pony's speed as soon as she saw the boys. Her eyes were black and lustrous, and her hair was dark. She did not look like the girls of Flanders, nor was her dress like theirs, and when she spoke, it was with a decidedly foreign accent. "You are Flemish boys, I see," she said, addressing Jan, and her voice was very sweet. "Can you tell me in which direction the castle lies? I thought it could be seen anywhere in this flat country." "It is the old windmill that cuts the view off here," answered Jan, "but after you cross the marsh yonder, it is visible again, and it is not far away." "Then I will wait for the others," said the little lady, for so she seemed to be from her manner and look. "I was going to spend Christmas Eve with my godmother at the castle, and my father did not return. So as I wished very much to go, the steward and governess prepared to go with me, and they were so slow, oh so slow, that my pony ran away, and I find myself lost." But there was a ring of mischievous laughter in the last sentence, and Jan shrewdly suspected that the pony was not altogether to blame. "Is this the Christmas pony?" suddenly asked Peterkin. After an absorbed contemplation, for some moments, of the pretty white creature. "Is it? Oh, yes. It is Santa Claus's pony," she answered, with a merry glance at Jan, and eyes, lips, and dimples overbrimming with silent laughter. She evidently remembered the Flemish legend. Come, she said suddenly to Jan, with childlike impulse. Since I have to wait, tell me about yourselves. Tell me what you would rather have. Oh, of all the things in the whole wide world, for your Christmas gift. The children's hearts quickly fly open, and Jan was soon telling her, while she listened with her wide, eager eyes, of his dream of going to the Griffin House and learning to build churches and palaces, and how he could not do it because he could never have the heart to rob God's poor of his father's aid and charity, nor would he go without little Peter. They were talking so eagerly that another rider was with them before they noticed his approach. A tall, dignified, dark-looking gentleman, wrapped in a long Spanish cloak and wearing a plumed hat. At the sight of him and the sound of the young girl's rapturous cry, "Father!" Jan's lips closed, and a sullen, lowering look came over his frank face. He replied but curtly to their thanks and turned to his brother. "Call Kneedle, Peter, and let us go home." "Kneedle has gone, brother," and so she had, like a sensible cow, mindful of supper and shelter, and the sunset fires of the wintry sky were burned almost to embers. They had separated, and the young rider, with a hurt, amazed look on her face when Jan turned back to her and said to the gentleman, "Do not cross the marsh there. The holes are black and deep and dangerous for horses. Take the longer road around. You will be at your goal sooner and safer." "You do not like to warn us?" said the Spaniard, looking curiously at his half-averted, reluctant face. "Why?" "Who is your father?" questioned the Spaniard. Jan's heart filled with dismayed apprehension. He remembered that he had told the daughter already, however. "There is no need to tell," he answered sturdily. "I have not been treacherous to you, at least," and his eyes sought the girl's in warning. She spoke quickly, in spite of the frown on her father's brow. "No, you have been a generous foe. We owe you only thanks." There was a suspicion of tears about her long lashes, and Jan found it hard to listen to little Peter as they hastened forward. "It is strange that she should have the Christmas pony," he was saying in a perplexed tone. "Strange things always happen at Christmas," his brother answered dreamily. Next morning, a silken purse of gold pieces hung outside the window with a scroll attached. "For Jan and Peter Stein, that they may go to the school of the Griffins. From Santa Claus's pony." Jan Stein's desire was fulfilled. He and Peter went to the Griffin school and learned all about carving and building and wood and stone. They used to plan together what they would build as soon as they were grown. Big churches, perhaps, and stately houses, but certainly a town hall for their own dear town, for the old one had been quite ruined by shells. Jan would have it adorned with pictures from its own history and with carvings of familiar leaves and blossoms and of common animals with their homely, everyday ways. The storks on their rough nests and the big dogs harnessed to the cart, these would I have, said Jan. "And the Christmas pony," exclaimed Peter, his eyes kindling with the old enthusiasm. "On the central tablet I would carve him, and he should have wings to show he is of no common stock, but of heavenly breed and nurture, and little panniers on his back, out of which crowd all kinds of toys, and in front a child's shoes full of grass and barley. That should be my part. And under it would only be Peterkin, for the name of the carver." "Why?" said Jan wonderingly, for this was only his home name. "Because I shall always be little Peter beside you, brother." Thank you for joining us on Sleep Stories for Equestrians. And happy holidays to you and yours. Make sure to sleep tonight.